Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
I'm excited to be here. You guys can sit down, but I'm going to jump right in. I should give you the niceties and tell you about my family and all the things about my life and maybe a funny story, but I got to go right now, okay? God loves you. God loves you so much. God is desperate for you. He was so desperate. This love is aggressive. You need to know that. Because in the world that we live in with, you know, teeny bopper music and romance novels and all this stuff, we've taken love and we've watered it down to something that it's not. God's love is so powerful. And it's the love that lays down its life for you. And it's the love that prefers you. And it's the love that is constantly mindful of you. And he loves you so much. It's a violent love. Our Father's love is actually, if you think about the baptism of Jesus in Mark chapter 1, if you want to go there, you can actually see it. I was thinking about this just this morning, so it's not in the notes, but Jesus, it talks about, you know, he got baptized by John the Baptist. And when he come up, we think, oh, the dove, that's so sweet. The dove came and alighted upon him. No, what it says is when Jesus came out of the water, he saw the heavens separated. The word separated there is schizo. It literally means the heavens got ripped. They got torn open. It's an aggressive, violent thing. If you have to, you got to understand what has to happen there, because the enemy is the prince and the power of the air, right? Do you think he wants Jesus getting anointed by the Holy Spirit? No. There was a battle going on there, and the Father said, no, I'm going to get to my kid. I'm going to get to my son. And he ripped heaven open to get to his son. And then the same thing happened to you and me, because the second he got the green light, the go-ahead, as soon as Jesus died and paid for our sins and the Father got to get to us, do you know what he did? He ripped that sin veil that was keeping us from him. It's a violent love that he loves you with, and he's saying, just love me back. I don't need anything from you. I just came to get you, so let me have you. That's our life. And if you're in this room right now, it's not over. I don't care if you drug yourself in here in a drunken state. That's how I got saved. I was hungover when I got saved. Pastor Bill says things about his story. I'm like, oh, that was, I did that too. I was a mess, but I made it into a place where Jesus was. Yeah. You're in that place. You're at Guts Church. I prayed something at the 9:30 and it just kind of came out of me, but it was an interesting thought. I said, this isn't the place where dreams come true. Disney can have that. This is the place where God's promises are true. And the promises of God are better than our dreams, because it says, eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. Another translation says, our imagination, the big things God has for us. So God's promises are bigger than your dreams. Is anybody happy about this right now? God loves you. God loves you. And again, I do not care what state of mind you came in here with. I hope there's skeptics in here, because you know what? The community of believers is very strong. And even if you don't know if you believe in God, you're going to see a joy all over people in this room. Next week, we're putting a demand on it. People are going to get healed dramatically, and people are going to recover progressively. And we all know that in this room. And so pastor's going to give a word. I am not head man here. This is Pastor Bill's church. He's allowed me to speak. Please come back next week if you're a guest. Hear the man of the house, but then also watch the body do its job, flex its muscles, because that's who we are. And we do it in here in this room, but then we all go out to however many people in this room, hundreds of different places, thousands of different places, and we go affect the world and we change the world. I am the campus host at Sepulpa Church. Sepulpa, shout out. Everybody give it up. Sepulpa Church. They're owning it. We have Skye Took in the house as well. We got the online church, man. Guts Church is strong. The cool thing about these campuses is if you go out there, you're not even going to miss a beat. It feels just like this, just with different faces. It is so cool. And the culture that we've established here that's being established in your lives or already established, we're doing it in these towns. And we're going into places and taking over. It's unbelievable. Sepulpa knows that Guts Church is there. And they do so by bringing us their messes. That's what they do when you're a Guts Church. When you call your church Guts, you're going to just kind of ask for some things. And we get the messes. I bring churches bring people to me that they're like, we don't know what to do with them. I'm like, well, we do. Okay? We do. Because God loves them. And guess what? That flows through us. So I want to make sure that we are established in this, because we deal in things in our life that we should never be dealing with. If you have this rooted system in your life that God loves me, you should never be depressed. And I know we can get into mental health and all this stuff, but I'm just telling you straight up, if you meditate on the Word of God with the knowledge that He is for you and not against you, who cares what's going on? Who cares what's going on the news? Be aware of it. That's great. That's fine. But if you're meditating on it, if you're immersing yourself in it, then you're going to start getting this mixed signal thing of, I know God's the Savior. Oh, I hope He comes quick because everything's falling apart. No, you're a warrior. You're not supposed to be fearing battle. I went to West Point for a couple of years, and I had this this drill sergeant. He was the scariest human being on the face of the earth. And they would do these call and responses things. And so whenever you walked by somebody in the hall, you'd have to say something, and they would say something back. And we would say, hope for war, pray for peace. And that was so weird to me. And so he walked by, and I said, hope for war. He said, pray for peace. And he got around the corner. I'm like, okay, he's gone. And I turned to the guy. I was like, why do we hope for war? Well, he heard me. And so he comes whipping around the corner, and he gets in my face. He's nose to nose, and I'm, 19 and not nearly the size that I am now. And he's in my face. And he says, do you know why I hope for war? Because I've given my life for this. Do you think a doctor would go through 7 years of training and then not want to be a doctor? I've been trained for battle. Like, dadgum, okay, whatever you want, I'll do it. But it's the same thing in our life. The same thing. You are trained for battle. You're not trained for comfort. God gave you a throne in heaven. Flex it. Use your authority. You take that word of God and you meditate on that and you let nothing else come into your life that's contrary. Okay? Because information is an interesting thing. I'll start segueing into what I was actually going to say to you guys. Information is an interesting thing because we love information. We love gossip. We love having it at our fingertips all the time to be in the know, right? We like being behind the closed doors. That's not always good. Okay? I'm gonna use the word knowledge and the word information just kind of interchangeably today. But you got to be careful with this stuff. And what you need to think of it as is knowledge is only as good as the stream that it can flow from. Information is only as good as if you can use it and how you use it. Okay? It's on the screen. Perfect. It is useless information if you can't use it. Okay? And so the enemy, this author of confusion, he's going to want to give you good news, bad news, useless news. He's going to want to just convolute everything so you don't know which way's up and which way's down. But we have to know what is up and what is down, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, and what is evil. We have to know this stuff, okay? And so we've got to be discerners as this works. Knowledge is an interesting thing because the Bible talks about what knowledge does if you don't use it. If there's not that stream, if there's not that outflow, what happens with it? It tells us in 1 Corinthians 8:1, it says that knowledge puffs up. You heard that one? You get puffed up. Well, what is the puffing up? It's pride. So knowledge unused turns into pride in your life. You know everything, right? You know these people? I am typically one of these people. You know so much, but you're not actually using it, and you puff up. Think of it in terms of like sugar, eating sugar. If you take in sugar and you don't use it, you don't burn it, it stores in your body and turns to fat. You're puffing up, right? It's a literal show of it. You've got to use it. Some of you guys wouldn't touch sugar with a hazmat suit. I know you super healthy people in here, but the rest of us with taste buds and a social life, we eat some sugar. But as long as we use it, we burn it, it can be okay. But knowledge puffs up. And I want to show you an example of this. If you want to go in your Bibles, you guys with the physical Bibles, you're my people. You can go to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Thank you, Joanna. 1 Samuel chapter 3. There's a guy named Eli in this story. Eli's the high priest. He's the prophet of God. He's the one. It's his job. It's his position. It's his role to get from God and give it to the people. He hears God's voice. He gets the directives. He understands the role, and he gets it out to the people. And if you're to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that he's not doing a good job. And we know he's not doing a good job because it says there was the word of the Lord was rare in those days and there was no widespread revelation. It doesn't say there wasn't word from the Lord. It doesn't say there wasn't revelation. It just says it's not getting out. Why is it not getting out? Because it's getting dammed up at Eli. He's not getting it to the people. And so things are dark. Things are bad in Israel. And if you go into chapter 4, it tells us what happens to Eli at the end of his life here. It says he gets old and very fat. Remember, he's puffing up. And he's sitting on a chair, and he gets some bad news. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. Won't get into it. But he gets some bad news. And what happens is he falls backwards in his chair when he hears the news, and he's so heavy, the weight of the fall breaks his neck, and he dies. That's not how the man of God is supposed to go out, okay? But he didn't do his job. And he got puffed up in this place. Now, let's take it a step further, because I said knowledge unused turns into pride, right? Well, pride comes before the fall. You see it in the Old Testament right there. The Old Testament is literally physically showing you the things that we're dealing with spiritually, okay? And so if you're reading the Old Testament and you're confused, go, okay, how does this apply to the spirit realm? How is it that I got to take up my sword and fight? Well, you do it in the spirit, okay? And so not all information is something you need. Not all information is useful. And if you're not putting it out, it's storing up inside of you, okay? The Bible, anytime it talks about knowledge, it talks about information, God always tags it with a discipline. He always tags it with a counterbalance that's going to show you how to use that knowledge. I'm just going to rattle off four verses here for you. You should just write down the references so you can see them later. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You got to put God in that first place position, and then knowledge can fit. Okay? I'm reverent to you, I'm obedient to you, and now I can use this knowledge. Next one, Proverbs 1:4. The point of this book is to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. I'm not going to give him just knowledge. I'm also going to give him the discretion in how to use it. Because that's like giving a child a sword and not telling him how to use it safely. Well, probably don't give any child a sword, but giving a person a sword and not teaching them how to use it. Knowledge is the same thing. It's a tool. It's a weapon. And so God always gives it in hand with something else. Two more for you. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I'm not just going to give you facts. And we've done a disservice to our education system because we've transferred what real education is into just giving facts to kids. That's what education has turned into, and it's very unfortunate. It's meant to be for a purpose. It's meant to be a training time. But instead, we just say, here's a whole bunch of facts, and it's not useful to them. I don't know how many of you guys went to college. I came out going, what happened for 4 years? I don't even know. I've got nothing. I've got a piece of paper, no aspiration, no training. What in the world? We've transferred information as actual education, and it's not. Last one here, Psalm 119, 66. Teach me good judgment and knowledge. You see how this is wisdom? You get information and you use it correctly. But we are in an age with Facebook and with online news, 24-hour news. I don't know why anybody needs 24-hour news. It's the same story like the whole day. But we've got all this information all the time, but we are not mature or responsible enough to handle it properly. Because we haven't been trained up by the Word of God. And so we have too much access to too many things. This was the warning from the start, right? Garden of Eden. You know where I'm going. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Right from the start, God said, here's what the problem's going to be. Don't eat of the tree. Did they already have knowledge? They already knew God. They already could ask him for anything they needed, right? So they had knowledge of good. The only thing they were going to get from that tree was evil. That was the only thing they were lacking was evil. And God said, please, just don't do it. It's just going to make a mess. Jesus is chilling here. I don't need to have to send him there, you know. But no, then the rest of the book, because we know what they did, they ate of it. And then they have sin consciousness. And so now it's like, great. Okay, well, here's the rules. Here's how you try not to sin. Oh, that failed. That didn't work. Okay, here's a Messiah. He will save you from your sin. And then after Jesus, it's, why don't you actually believe the Messiah and get restored from sin? And so the rest of the book is about the sin consciousness from eating that piece of fruit. Knowledge is not always good. It's not always helpful to you. You need to be aware of what you're ingesting because it will find a way to get out. If you're putting in bad, it will find a way to get out. Make sure that you're pure in these things. So the Bible's clear on what you should be meditating on, what you should be thinking on, what's the information that's qualified to get into a Christian's life. If you look at Philippians 4:8, this is a great passage of scripture. It's a great one to just, man, when thoughts come in, you just run it straight through this list. Here's what God says you meditate on. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true. I called this message fake news, just so you know. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That just cut out about 75% of the information I get every day, right? That just cut out all the advertisements. That just cut out all the gossip. That just cut out a lot of the social media. That just did a whole lot of refining in my life right there by simply one verse. And if we take that, we meditate on that, then you're going to know good from evil. The Bible talks about a mature Christian is not one who's old. A mature Christian is one who has exercised the word of God to know good from evil. That's in Hebrews 5 and in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul says both. You've used it. You've seen good and you've denied evil. That's a mature Christian. I know 14-year-olds that are way more mature than a lot of the adult Christians that I've seen around because they've exercised it. They've used it. Are you using the Word of God? Do you have that base that He loves me so I can't fail? His Word is going to direct me and my life is going to be incredible. Is that the dictation of your life? Is that the stream going through your head? It needs to be, because that's who you are. And again, on the outside, I know there's people that's been beat up. I know things have happened to us. I know we've done things to other people. Have a quick release of your memory. Let it go, okay? Be a goldfish with this stuff. My past is gone. I have a bright future. Yeah, but you, no, I don't care. I know. But I'm dead in Christ. I'm sorry. I'm dead to the world. I'm alive in Christ. Yeah, okay. I'm a new creation. So yes, I messed up, but I'm a new creation and His mercies renew every single day. So I messed up yesterday. Guess what? He started over with me today. I'm starting over fresh and clean. God loves me. Do you see why every day? We can't have blue Mondays. There's no blue Mondays. You're a Christian. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's Philippians 4. Philippians 3 says the same thing. He says, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, I know I say this to you all the time, but it's good that I always say it to you because you need reminding. Rejoice in the Lord. I don't care if it's January, Blue Monday. That's not you. As long as today is called today, I will worship the Lord. It's His day. Okay? So regarding this information, another one for you is Colossians 3:2. Set your minds on the things above, not the things of earth. Information can get in your way. Knowledge can get in your way. You ever heard of the show 13 Reasons Why? Hopefully there was a whole groan that went through the room when I said that. 13 Reasons Why, if you don't know, is a show on Netflix, and it walked you through a life of a teenager who's suicidal. And the 13 Reasons Why are the 13 Reasons Why I committed suicide, from my understanding. I haven't seen it. And so it's just giving you information and giving you knowledge about somebody struggling with suicide. And that was the intent. But what they actually found that happened as they started researching is that Google hits on how to kill myself spiked 19% in the wake of that show. Jumped, skyrocketed 19% as soon as that show hit the airwaves. We do The Nightmare here, and it's a very graphic depiction, and I don't want to, you know, get too into that here. But I went into our suicide room, and I saw the scene, and I was like, that's a really odd suicide. What is that? And I asked the guys who put it together, and I said, well, that is the going trend of how to commit suicide. Kids are looking up how to kill themselves. It's information. It's knowledge. It can be dangerous, okay? And so we've got to have this filter of the Word of God, of what is good, noble, true, pure, okay? That was depressing. Let's pick it up now, okay? What does God want us to know? What is vital for your life? What does He want to give you that you operate in and live by? Let's make it simple. Let's talk about Jesus, okay? Mark 12. Go to Mark 12. Jesus keeps it simple, man. Keeps it very simple. He says, why do you call me Lord and then not just do what I say? He says, if you love me, you'd keep my commandments. It's really, really simple. And so the Pharisees were trying to trick Him in this passage. You guys may know this one. There were 613 laws that Moses gave the Israelites. So they come to Jesus and they're like, what's the best one? They're trying to catch Him up in something, but Jesus ain't no fool. Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second command is just the same. Love your neighbor as yourself. He says, everything hinges on this. If you do that, you fulfilled the whole law. How freeing is that? Doesn't that? He just took 613 laws and go, do this. This is what we need to know, okay? But He wasn't being flippant in how He said this. He wasn't just throwing body parts out there or mindsets or whatever. He was very, very calculated in what He said here. And I want to walk through these four parts. So if you're taking notes, let me say that a different way. As you're taking notes, because you need to be taking notes, okay? In the seat back in front of you, you didn't get anything to write on. There's a pamphlet, and in the back of it says notes. That's a good place to have notes, okay? So pull it out. Write this stuff down. You need it. You're in a battle, right? Let's get real. I'm going to get off the notes for a second. You're in a battle. You're in a fight. There's a call of God on your life that you're trying to go towards, and there's an entire enemy and an entire earth trying to stop you from it. If you're not equipped, if you're not sharp, and if you're not trained, your fight is not going to be pretty. I'm not saying you're going to hell. You're going to heaven. But when you get there, you're going to go, man, I could have had a better life than that. That was unfortunate. Do over? Nope. You get one chance. Only die once. That's all you get. And I'm just telling you, we've got to start operating as more. You don't need more information in your life. You need to study the Word. You need to get into it. But you have enough. Everybody in this room, you're from Oklahoma. You stinking know the gospel, okay? you're inundated with the gospel in this town. Use it. Believe it. Function in it. It's your life. If God is real, would anything else matter? And that's why I have a hard time with people who are like, I believe in God. Then nothing else should come before that. If God is real, I mean, do you think about that? If God is real, what else matters? If he really created me, why would I go anywhere else? Just boil this down to simplicity, okay? So the first thing he says is love the Lord your God with all your heart. Your heart is your passion. It's your desires. This is what you get excited about. This is probably why you were created, is to fulfill this. Your heart, listen to me, this is important. Your heart is not chasing after a position. God did not create you for any position except child of God. And so when we go around asking little kids, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they start naming positions, we've given them a disservice. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a fighter pilot. I want to be a Tyrannosaurus Rex, whatever they say, because they're kids. It's a position. They're all naming positions. That's not right. Because we are created in Christ Jesus. We're his workmanship, created for good works, not for good positions. You have your position. It is set. Your purpose is what you're doing and accomplishing on this earth. The call in my life is to hook up people with an intimate relationship with God. I can do that as a plumber. I can do that as anything. But right now he's got me as a campus host in Sepulpa. And so I'm doing that there. You've got to find your purpose, your passion. This is the desire of your heart. And the Bible says God gives you the desires of your heart. He'll give you the object, absolutely. But the object of the desire is going to take a faith walk. He's going to bring you through it and to it, okay? He's going to equip you, you're going to grow, and then you're going to get that object when you're ready for it and it's healthy for you. But what he's actually saying in that verse is, I'm giving you the actual desire itself of your heart, that need to go chase after it. I've given you that. And so people in this room, if you know what your desire is, you know what your passion is, go get it. Go after it. But God says, love me in it. Make sure that you're integrous. Make sure that you're generous. Make sure that you're bringing other people up with you, not pushing them down to get where you're trying to go. Do it as unto me. People in the room that don't know your passion, which I would actually, as I'm doing more ministry, find out is the majority, are going, I don't know what my passion is. I go to work to make money. Let's change that. Okay? If you don't know what you're passionate about, you know what you can start being passionate about right now is your own life. God gave you a body. Get passionate about getting stronger and better. You've got a job. Man, I'm going to be on time. I'm going to be dressed professionally. I'm going to be prepared. Start investing in yourself. Start getting passionate about your own life, because that's what opens doors. When God sees you're faithful with the little, he then makes you ruler over much. Are you being faithful with the little? Well, there's no promotion in my job. I'm just stuck in this dead-end place. That's because you're working for money and you're not working for the purposes of God. There's always promotion in the kingdom. And if you want to get natural with it, you can go find a position. You can make a position at your job. You know why? Because your boss would love to streamline his payroll. And if you can do more jobs than you're doing, do them. God, I think Travis Peters told me he started cleaning his office building for more money. And you know when next time promotion came around, who did they ask? Well, the guy who was willing to be here early and stay late and do the extra work. I want him on my team. You can make your own position. Are you being faithful? Pursue a passion. And if it's got to be right now, I'm just going to get better, then be passionate about it. Because God just wants you passionate. The enemy wants you apathetic and bored and lazy and binge watching TV. And God's going, no, I made you for something. Let's go. Let's go. You may not know how to work out, but if you start running on a treadmill, you'll figure it out pretty quick. Let's start. Let's just begin. And so we love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our passion, with our desire. Okay. The next one he says, love the Lord your God with all your soul. This is one I could talk about for a long time. I'll save you for that, because we got to go to lunch eventually, but your soul is you. This is your personality. This body dies, right? But we go to heaven. How are we going to know each other then? Just a bunch of vapor floating around? No, we know each other by our souls in heaven, okay? This is why Jesus resurrected. He came back to the earth and nobody knew who he was. His disciples were like, Gardner? No, that's Jesus. They knew him by the flesh. They didn't know him by the spirit. And so we're going to know each other by our souls, and you are your soul. So how do you love God with your soul? We were singing that song, let go, my soul, and trust in him. You no longer get to say, well, that's just how I am. You're not allowed to say that anymore. That is not you. you are Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so you don't get to disqualify yourself anymore because it's your personality. You don't get to avoid battles that you need to be fighting because it's your personality. Trust me, I'm in a position that is not according to my personality. I want to stay home and read books. I don't like crowds. Pastor Bill's like, everybody likes a crowd. I don't. But I don't want to do that because I'm naturally passive. Like, that's my personality. See? So what does God do? Because God is hysterical. He says, oh, guess what? You got to go make a crowd. You got to be a networker. You got to stand in front of people and you've got to get vulnerable with them and in front of them. And it's like, no, I just want to go. Mariah can watch HGTV and I'll tell her I could build that stuff. I never actually will, but I just want to chill, you know? And so I have to say no to my personality and pick up the life of God. And what I found is freedom. Because when I get past the barriers of my own soul, I get into his life. It's like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. Okay? Some of you guys that are very passive, I'm talking specifically to men. Some of you guys that are passive, you can't be passive anymore. You've got the words of life and freedom on the inside of you that somebody needs. And if you're passive, people are getting hurt because of it. Now it's serious. It's real. Some of you guys that talk too much and you're too much the center of attention, you need to step back and let somebody with wisdom speak sometimes. Okay? You need to be spirit-led. That's Pastor Bill's 2018, right? Be spirit-led. Let's be spirit-led in our soul. I'm heading towards a close here. All right. Your mind. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is your thoughts. This is your mindsets. People get stuck in poverty because they think they're meant to be impoverished. That's a broken mindset. People think they're sick and they shouldn't be sick. We get caught in these places in our mind and we meditate on these things and we go, that's just the way it is. That's not just the way it is. This is just the way it is. Okay? And you've got to understand that these things come at you, but if you're standing on the rock that's Jesus Christ, they're going to go past you. I'm not saying it's not going to hit you and you got to do that, but it's got to pass because it's not eternal. Only God is eternal and he made eternal kids. And so we can outlast whatever storm if we're standing on the rock. If you know the truth, you're going to be able to set your foot and set your foot behind yourself and be ready and be strong for it. Some of us just elevate out of it. What happens when the plane hits turbulence? They find a different altitude, right? That's the word of God for you. I'm going to go to a different altitude. I'm going to elevate out of this. I'm going to endure and persevere, and that thing's going to die off. If you've got addictions in your life, outlast them. Outlast the addiction in your life. Say no. Oh, it hurts. You don't understand. I understand. I've been there. I tried to not drink and my hand would do this and I couldn't write. I'm trying to do homework. I can't do homework because I've got to go have 6 beers first. I know what you're saying. You know what I did? I stopped. And then I got around other people who weren't doing that. And then it was way easier. If you're not here, I don't know what to tell you. Good luck. Good luck's not very spiritual. I didn't see Jesus say good luck. He said, go and sin no more. Why? Because now I've hooked you up with my kingdom and my people. Go and sin no more. You've got the power now. Break the mindset that you can't. Break the mindset that it's not for you. Break the mindset that this is what my grandfather did, my dad did. You got adopted. You have a new family. I say that, and I have a fantastic family. They're here. Hey, fam. I've got an amazing family, but I still need to be adopted by Jesus. I still need to take on that bloodline and that life because it's greater than anything on this earth. Last one. Love the Lord your God with all your strength. The Bible says nobody builds a house but doesn't first count the cost. Evaluate what's going on, what you're doing. What are you spending your time, your effort, your money on? Is it even worth moving that ball forward? Is it satisfying to you? At the end of the day, if you do win, you reach that goal, is it going to be satisfying? I mean, you can pick almost any athlete who are at the top or any musician, and you're like, are you happy? No. I hear Jim Carrey talk about this all the time. He says, I wish everybody could have all the money in the world so they could realize how unhappy I still am, how it doesn't make you happy. What are you pushing for? What's your strength going towards? Is it even worth it? And if it is worth it, then are you really using all your strength? We can't seek comforts. We've got to seek his calling, the high calling. It's uphill. He did it on purpose that it's uphill. Because you got to go strain for it. You got to push for it. You can't take all your baggage with you. You got to let it go so that you can run and push. It's worth it. The call in your life is worth it, guys. And you all have one. You all have one. You don't need a microphone on this stage. But you do need to lead your families. You do need to protect your household. You do need to keep your health. You do need to do the things that are going to show the world that we are not a passive people, that we are aggressive owners and inheritors of this earth. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for us. God wouldn't give it to us if we weren't worthwhile, if we weren't going to do something with it and there wasn't a purpose for it. Be a good steward of your life. And the last thing, as I close this up, Jesus finished it with saying, love your neighbor as yourself. And how this works is as you're doing those first four things, your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, that's you getting from God. Remember, we got to have outflow. The outflow of that life is going to be love your neighbor as yourself. Agape love. Lay your life down for them. Because when you're strong, when you're disciplined, when your life is moving forward, who's going with you? Don't be lonely at the top. I want to go before Jesus with thousands of people and go, we're here. We made it. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You did your job. That's what I want to do. And that's what's on your life as well. Is this encouraging? You guys with me?
Yes.
You're very quiet, but I believe you're here. Okay? God loves you. And if we are just faithful in what we have, he's going to give us more. And you're faithful with that, and you get more. It's an elevation life that you get. Nothing goes down. Nothing goes backwards. It's stand, and then it's take ground. That's the only two things you do. You stand, and then you take ground. You stand, and then you take ground. That's who we are. Welcome to Guts Church. You need to be a part of this. If this is your family, get hooked in, get involved. If you're just visiting with us, come back and hear the man of the house next week. But I'm encouraging you to go to Next Steps. Get involved. Be here. Because we're going somewhere. We're not stopping until the kingdom of God is established here. And then we reign with Jesus. I'm going to pray for you. God, I just thank you for this group of people. God, I thank you for your family, your children, God. Endowed by your Holy Spirit, filled with every good thing that you're about, ready and equipped for any battle that the enemy might want to throw at them. God, I just thank you that we're more than conquerors. More than conquerors, meaning we go into every fight knowing it's already won and it's on our behalf. So God, we just thank you for the blood of Jesus that was poured out on our lives. God, we receive it today. If you want what I'm talking about, you're saying, I just got to get started. I got to get off a treadmill. I got to start moving forward. Would you raise your hand for me? I want to pray for you. I got to start over. I got to get going. I need passion. Yep, 4 or 5. Who else? There's more. Yep. Be passionate about it. Be serious. You've been passive for too long. It's time to get real. Hands all over the place. Does anybody here just want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life? Exciting. This is it, guys. And the thing is, you're not behind in the race. God puts you where you need to be. You're going to go fulfill your call, even if you got a late start. He's outside of time. He can put you wherever he wants. Everybody in the room, repeat after me. We're all getting saved today. The Bible says, if you believe this in your heart, I'm going to give you the words to confess. It says you're saved. And that saving means saved to the uttermost. It means you have everything of heaven, everything that Jesus had. You can go do mighty works. Everybody say, God, I make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. He's my Savior, but now I make him my King. I do what he says. I say as he tells me. And I demand an amazing life on this earth. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. But I am going to experience heaven right now. My life is yours, and your life is mine. In Jesus' name, amen. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. I know they got some closing announcements, but if you need anything, man, just please come up to the stage afterwards. Either side, there's elders or senior leadership. Come meet me, whatever it is. We just want to make sure that whatever you came here for today, you get. Okay? We love you guys. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.